Now tonight, I'm going to enjoy teaching you my favorite passage. Dr. Schaefer was my teacher in seminary years and years back in the 73 area, and taught us Romans 5 very deeply. 6 months on Romans 5. But this section, verses 12 to 14, is the heart of understanding sin. So I put a romantic title, Paradise Ruin, but we will see why. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you tonight to study one of the most serious doctrinal statements of the Bible about sin. I think, to me, this is the key passage for understanding sin in our life. And so I pray that as we go through the passage, that becomes clear to us, and we are able then to say within ourselves, thank you, Father, that you save us through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. You have an outline, and I want to be faithful to the outline with you. We come now then to a new paragraph in the studies of the book of Romans. Now, in these new verses, it will be chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, even though I want to mention 15, 16, and 17. Paul tells us how man came to be the way he is. In other words, you and I will know tonight why we are in the way we are. Sometimes unhappy. Sometimes we say we're going to do right and we don't do it. We're going to see why. The answer lies within a doctrine called original sin. Have you ever heard of that? Original sin. When my aunt, who was at the beginning Roman Catholic, original sin is a big deal in the Roman Catholic Church, and they do baptism just to try to avoid original sin, baptisms of babies. Now, this doctrine teaches, original sin, teaches us that man is a sinner by nature. It's different to be a sinner by choice. It's a sinner by nature. He doesn't become a sinner by doing evil. Rather, man does evil because he is a sinner. All right? That's entirely different. There is another name for this condition, and it is called, if you read the book of theology, you will see a title, Total Depravity. That's what the title is. Basically, what this teaches us is that mankind is evil to the core, and that there is no good in mankind at all. Let me give you, if we go to Romans chapter 3, just for a moment, we can read verses 10 to 12, and you will see how evil is mankind without God. So, as it is written, I'm reading Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, mean nobody right with God, no one. There is none who understand. There is none who seek after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of apes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And I tell you, that is absolutely truth. When left us to our own nature, there is no fear of God. Now, it wasn't this way at the beginning. When you open the first page of the Bible, chapter 1, chapter 2, there wasn't in that way. We are told that God created man in his image. You put one hand in Romans and you go at the beginning of your Bible in chapter 1 and in verse 26 of chapter 1, the Bible really reveals that. The Bible said, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over everything, creeping things that creeps upon the earth. So there was not that way at the beginning. Man was holy. Man was righteous. And man was the close friend of God was man. Man was placed in a perfect paradise where he enjoyed the riches of God and perfection of this beautiful creation. So my question is, what happened? If mankind was so perfect and has God as his friend, what really happened? Well, our text tonight holds the answer to that question. These texts in Romans 5, 12 to 14 tell us how paradise was ruined. So I go little by little, all right? First, in verse 12, the root of sin. Sin had its origins in the heart of Lucifer, all right? And I'd like you to go with me to Isaiah chapter 14. As a matter of fact, that I chat a little bit with Pastor Greg this morning about Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14, all right? And we're going to see that sin had its origin in the heart of Lucifer. Isaiah 14, and let me read verse 12 and verse 13, 14, 15. How you are falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How are you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Satan sinned against the Lord, but listen carefully, but his sin did not effect on humanity, had no effect on humanity. When Satan sinned in Isaiah chapter 14, had not effect on humanity, only has effect on himself. Sin entered the human family by the actions of the first man called Adam, all right? He had been created in the image of God, as we read it. He had been placed in a perfect environment with a perfect companion. His wife was perfect. He was the master of a perfect world without any mistakes. There was only one restriction on Adam. He was forbidden to eat the fruit of one tree in the garden. Remember in Genesis chapter 2. The penalty for eating this tree was death. You will think that Adam will be content in a very perfect paradise, but the Bible tells us otherwise in Genesis chapter 3, all right? The moment Adam sinned has been called by theologians the fall. You maybe heard that the fall of Adam. That's the moment that he sinned. Sadly, Adam's fall did not just affect Adam, but it affected the whole world. Now we go into Romans chapter 5, verse 12 to see it, all right? Romans 5, verse 12. Look at what happened. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death is spread to all men because all have sinned. So, sadly, Adam's fall did not just affect Adam himself, but it affected the whole world. There is no way to explain the world apart from the fall. You cannot explain any other circumstances. You cannot say why mankind do this. You cannot explain it apart from the fall of Adam. There is only one way to explain things like murder, abortion, death, racism, hatred, fornication, adultery, idolatry, all kinds of wickedness. By one man, said the Bible, sin entered into the world. So the root of sin is mankind's fall. No, God falls. The root of sin is Adam took a choice. The only choice wrong that he can do, there was only one choice wrong. And he did, took that choice. Now, verse 12 also tells us the reality of sin. Let me explain it. Verse 12 in Romans 5 said, therefore, as through one man sin entered the world, now here is the reality of sin. Death and death through sin, and thus death is spread to all men, because here is the problem, all sin. Now we want to move away from talking about what Adam did thousands of years ago. We want to talk about your life and mine right now. Notice the last phrase of verse 12. All have sin. How could anything be any plainer? Is that right? It's just clear. All, said the Bible, that means all have sin. This verse is really no saying that all men are sinners, even though that we are. This verse is not saying that all men commit sin, even though we do. To properly understand this verse, you need to look at the tense of the word sin. Notice that it's in the past tense. We all sin before even we got right here. Before you were born, you were already a sinner. Boy, that's terrible, but that's what it is. Basically, what Paul is telling us is that when Adam sinned, you and I sin. All right? That's the key. When Adam disobeyed, you and I disobey. When Adam sinned, we all die spiritually. We all, not just Adam. So to understand this, we need to understand that Adam was the first man. All right? There was no other. We all trace our lineage back to him, like the book of 1 Corinthians tells us that we go back to Adam. In fact, Adam was a representative of mankind. What happened to Adam happened to all of us, and that sometimes people don't understand. It's very, very important. In the eyes of God, Adam was given the authority to act for the entire human race. Well, he was the human race. Was the only one. Therefore, when he sinned, we were in his loins, and we sinned as well. When Adam fell, he passed his sinful condition down to every human that has ever born. That's what they said, because all sin. Now, that's hard to take it, but that's the way it is. That is the sentence. So the root of sin is very important to understand. It's a disobedience to God's command. And the reality of sin is that the man, the only man alive, sinned with his wife, and he passed it to all the human race. And so we are born with that fault, with the fault of sin. Now, verses 12 to 14 explain to us the result of that sin. The result of sin can be summed up in one horrible word, and the word is death. Many times when I'm in the deathbed of somebody, and happened last week, why this happened to me? They said, Pastor, 6 months ago everything was okay. Now why? This happened to me, especially if you are in the 70s. With Dr. McCormick, he was 94, that right?
Almost 95.
So he knew that. He said, one of those days when I said goodbye, Camille always left me with him alone, and we talked, and he said, one of those days you don't see him anymore. Come on, don't talk in that way, I said. he knew. But when you are 70 or something, you can say, why? All right? What Paul is trying to tell us is that in chapter 6 and in verse 23, they try to tell us that death is the payoff of sin. For the wages of sin, the payoff of sin is death. And we are doomed to die. We all are doomed to die. So what Paul is trying to tell us in these verses is that death entered the world not because man broke the specific law and commandments of God, but death entered the world through sin. See? Man sinned, then death came into the world. Death was not God's plan. It was God's penalty. So, in truth, sin produces three specific kind of death in humanity. And this is what I play when I'm with doctors, medical doctors, all the time. First is a spiritual death. This is the natural state of humanity. You move your Bible to Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, and look with me, verse 1. In verse 2, and you, said Paul to the people of Ephesus in Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. This is the natural state of humanity, I call it, as they are born into this world, they are really sinners by nature. In chapter 4 and in verse 18, Paul makes a stronger statement. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. So, three things sin produces. One is a spiritual death. By natural approach, a baby will grow, and never by themselves, that baby will choose God. Amazing. Secondly, is physical death. This is the place all humans come to, whether you like it or not, when these temporal earthly bodies are laid aside to God. And for this, it's very clear. There is one text in the Bible in Hebrews, in chapter 9 of Hebrews, in verse 27, that is very, very clear that God has placed this for us. Hebrews 9 and verse 27. As it is appointed for men to die once, said the Bible, but after these, the judgment. So the truth is this. Sin produces three kinds of death. First is a spiritual death. Secondly is physical death. And then thirdly is eternal death. This is also the Bible called that the second death. It refers not only to eternal separation from the presence of God, but also the lake of fire that some denomination like a Jehovah's Witness don't want to acknowledge. It is right here in the book of Revelation. You cannot miss it because it's just absolutely good. It's in Revelation chapter 20, almost at the end of the chapter, verses 14 and 15. Nobody can miss that. So this is the ultimate down of every person, all right? Here it is. And the Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, then death and Hades were cast into the lake. Let me read verse 13, so I'll give you a panorama. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, the death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is what the Bible calls second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, Jehovah's Witness doctrine said, we disappear. Dog die, disappear with we are in this world, then we die, it's all gone. No attributing to God the ability to raise us up. That is failure of understanding, really, the scripture. So the root of sin is man's disobedience to God. The reality of sin is that we all die. And the result of sin is that we can die permanently and be penalized permanently for the rest of our life, all right? Some people told me, well, if my life is like a life of a dog, if I die, I die, then I live in the way I want it. I enjoy it here. See, if there is no penalty at the end, what matters? Then why following God? Now, what's the remedy for sin? We have to go back to Romans, because Romans 12 not only bring to our attention the condemnation, but the remedy also. In Romans 12 and in verse 14, we read, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgressions of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come." The first Adam gave humanity a gift. It was the gift of sin. That's what he gave us, all right? This gift brought with the ultimate price, death, as we read in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Now, you know who is called the second Adam? Jesus, all right? So the second Adam, the Lord Jesus, also gave us gift. Notice what they are in Romans 5:15-17. We're going to look on it. Five times in these verses, Paul used the term gift. Notice that they teach us about what the second Adam gave to humanity. Number one, the gift of grace. Look at verse 15. "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many die, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." So the second Adam gave us the gift of grace. You know what grace is? We are forgiven from the penalty of sin. All right? In verse 16, we have the gift of justification with God. Look at verse 15. Verse 16. "And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from the one offense result in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification." In other words, I'm okay with God. I'm not in awe with God. God is seeing me like when he created Adam in chapter 1 and 2. Amazing. So the grace of God is given to me through Jesus. The justification of God is given me through Jesus. And the gift of righteousness. Righteousness means when you are in court and the judge said, you are okay, you are not guilty. Look at it in verse 17. "For if by one man's offense death reign through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ." In other words, I'm okay with God. I have my court hearing has been done. Jesus appeared in my place in court. He took my place, and nothing can make me guilty. And then the gift of eternal life is in chapter 6, verse 23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." I do not merit eternal life. I have a gift for you, say God, and that gift is eternal life. And then, what then is the remedy for sin? You remember by heart, John 3:16, all right? It is remarkable. Take a good look and look at it with your own eyes. John 3, in verse 16, it is a remarkable remedy for sin. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it is a very simple statement. You and I need to receive a gift from God, believing in Jesus. And what's the gift, Pastor? The gift is that I, in a natural state, cannot believe. But when God touches my life, I believe. And so the fact that I believe and the fact that I'm preaching to you is not because I was talented, it's because God gave me a gift, my salvation. Isn't that great? So my conclusion is in John chapter 1, and verse 11, 12, and 13. He came unto his own, Jesus, and his own did not receive him, all right? But as many, said the Bible, as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his names. And I like verse 13, who were born not of blood. That doesn't mean some people say, oh, I'm a Christian because my grandfather was a Christian, my mother was a Christian, then I'm a Christian. Who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh. All right? That means I want it. Not of the will of man. Like in my country in Argentina, we're all Christians because the country is ruled by the Roman Catholic Church, and you're born a Christian. No way. But of God, said the Bible. So that's the beauty, don't we? That we are Christians because of God. I think not only we learn the doctrine of damnation and so on here, but the doctrine that I want to really keep in my mind is I'm grateful that God gave me a gift. I believe. Sometimes we forgot. We can argue about doctrine, we can do this and the other, but you and I have to be very happy. I have a gift. I believe. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As we start a new week tomorrow, in the busyness of our life and the details of our life, in spite of whatever circumstances we were placed into, I pray that we will remember that we have a precious gift. That gift is we believe. And so, Lord, knowing the impossibility of believing by itself, I'm just happy that I believe. So whatever happened to me tomorrow, I'm going to be happy because I believe. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you.